where the intention that we have in the sponsoring of a village there is to actually make a move against human trafficking. And one of the things that you can do either end of that, you can try to do intervention. And we have some friends who are doing some of that. That's to get people out of the sex trade. But the other way is to actually try to cut it off at the source and to get in with these villages and families and actually help them to raise their economic level so that they are not tempted then to actually sell their children off into slavery. And no good for us to sit in judgment on that in some way. What we need to do is make a difference. And so what we're trying to do as a church is to make a difference. And we have workers across Southeast Asia, particularly in Vietnam, who are focusing in on that to make a difference in communities so that God can come and show and demonstrate his love and families can have the options of education and improvement so they don't actually go down that path. So we're pretty excited about that. That's the opening of that part of our mission program around the world. We do a whole bunch of stuff, but that's an exciting one. And so it's great to have those guys back in church today. And they did do the overnight flight so they could be here this morning to share with us. So grab them and talk with them afterwards and keep them awake and give them plenty of coffee and keep them going so that they have a good sleep tonight. You've got to help them stay awake all day today so they sleep again tonight. We're going to start a new series this morning. And the series we're starting today, we're calling Freedom. Freedom in Christ. Christ refers to Jesus. Of course, we're celebrating today the resurrection of Jesus. And the term Christ or Christos is just a really simple term that would mean that he is the Lord. He is the coming one. He is the one who represents God and brings salvation to all man. That's what Christ is about. So whenever you hear the term Christ, understand it represents salvation. It represents that we are separated from God because of our own sin and rebellion, because we don't live according to his way. And Jesus came to take the punishment for that sin. The punishment for sin is death. The judgment of God is very clear. No one can stand before God and say, I'm okay, I'm a good person. There is nobody who can do that. That's just a bit of a joke. And when we come to stand before God, even the best of us will be embarrassed by the level of sinfulness that we find in ourselves. Just selfishness, just, you know, rebellion against God. The worst thing we do, of course, is to live our lives with disregard to God. We can't come before God in any way except with humility, looking for his grace. And that's what Jesus is all about. He's just wanting to bring that love of God. Not an easy and a cheap thing, something that cost him everything, and I believe deserves the same from us, that we give everything to him. So as a church, we're passionate about the love of God and love for God. And we want to talk over the next few weeks about the freedom that that can bring in your life. That God does not want you bound up with anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's guilt over the past. It doesn't matter whether it's some life-controlling thing at the moment. It doesn't matter what it is. God does not want you bound up. He wants you free. And Jesus has come so that you and I can be free. And that's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. If you've got a Bible, you can look at Galatians chapter 5. And this is where we get this from and what I want to read for you today. Galatians 5 verses 1 to 6. Galatians 5 verse 1, it'll be on the screen for you as well. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now just so you understand, what's going on here is that Paul, the great leader of the early church, is actually speaking to a bunch of Jewish people who have become Christians. And there's a whole bunch of non-Jews who have become Christians, and they're trying to figure out, do we have to keep all the Old Testament laws? Particularly, we'll get to a moment, to circumcision. Do we have to do circumcision? Do we have to do all the temple sacrifices? Do we have to do all this stuff to somehow merit the blessing of God in our lives? Do we have to have some merit system where we have to do a whole bunch of stuff in order to please God? Or is this new Christian life, is this Jesus that has come and died and risen again, does it make some kind of difference to that whole process? Or do we still have to keep all the laws and the regulations? And Paul, who was a Jew and who was a Jewish leader and understood the law back and front, he said to them, this is not what Jesus has come for. He has not come to bind you up again with a whole bunch of laws and rules and regulations, but rather he has come so that you might taste freedom. Freedom from everything in your life. Freedom from law, freedom from religion, freedom from bondage, freedom from sin, freedom from anything that's binding you up or holding you down in life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to bring you freedom. I'm interested in, we do a lot of work in communist nations, and I'm interested in the fact that Karl Marx, he saw religion as the opiate of the masses to keep them down and to keep them under control, which only demonstrated his complete lack of understanding of what Jesus was about. Jesus was about freedom. He was about freeing people up. And what we want to do is free people up. God wants to free people up, and whatever has bound you up, whether it be insecurities or fears or whatever, God wants to bring freedom to your life. And that's what this is all about in the scripture today. He says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to it all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. He had a bunch of guys who had come from a non-Jewish background and had joined in with a whole bunch of Jewish Christians. And so they were saying, these blokes have all been circumcised, and all these Gentile Christians now were saying, do we need to get circumcised as well in order to please God and join this new religious group? I've always been interested in that whole approach in the scriptures of getting people to actually come and join the church and be circumcised. I just think that would be a great welcome to the life of the church. If every man that came into the church, we would say, hello, how are you? Have you been circumcised yet? We've got a bloke out the back with a knife and we're ready to go. I've just always thought of that as a very strange approach to someone's thinking about church life. But I wonder how much different it is from the average Aussie who comes to church and thinks, well, I've got to do this and that and the other thing in order that I might, you know, please God and become a Christian. I don't know how far we are actually removed from that kind of stupidity that would evidence itself by saying, if I cut a piece of my body off, somehow God's going to be pleased. I mean, it's just nonsense. And so Paul says to them, if you let yourself have that done to you, then understand one thing. Jesus is of no use to you. He's of no use to you. Because now you're trying to please God with some kind of merit system where you're trying to be good enough for God to love you. And he said, you can't be good enough for God to love you. He just loves you anyway. Those three boys that we just saw, they are sometimes good and sometimes they are evil little wretches. I know that because I've had children myself and I have spoken to their parents. And I know that sometimes they are lovely and wonderful and other times they are not. And the fact is that even when they are not, their parents love them. And they don't need to do anything for their parents to keep loving them. Is that right? They don't need to do anything. Even if they were to go in a direction that their parents did not want in life, their parents would still love them. When you become a parent and you watch your children grow up, and we've got four adult children and they're getting married off, and maybe one day they will bless us with some grandchildren. Maybe one day they'll sort out how to make babies and they'll actually get going on that whole path. It would just be sooner rather than later. Would be good. But one day they'll get there and the reality is, as you see the kids, you know, growing up and making their own decisions in life, the reality is, as a parent, you never stop loving them. Never stops. It never stops. I know. My mum is in her 70s My dad is in his 70s, and I know that they love me more than I'll ever love them. I know that. I know. I watch the way they relate to me and to our children, and I watch the way they operate in life, and I know that they care about me more than I will ever care about them. I love them. I care for them, but I know that they love me more than I'll ever love them. It's just the way it is with parents and children. That's just how it is. And so Paul says to this group of people, do you really think that by cutting a bit of your body off, that somehow God's going to love you more than he loves you now? He says, if you do that, then Jesus is of no use to you at all. Because somehow you think that you're going to make God impressed with your life. God's neither impressed or unimpressed. He's just not interested in that whole deal. He just loves you. And he wants you back in relationship with him. That's what he wants. Right now, your sin, your rebellion against God, your selfishness is standing in the way of your relationship with God. God will not allow sin to come into his presence. He won't allow a sinful man or a sinful woman to come with all of their attitude and all their rebellion, all their selfishness and their pride and all the other junk that we have. He will not allow someone to approach him with all of that stuff. He just won't. He's a perfect, holy God. But he says, I want you, therefore I'm going to deal with all that stuff. So Jesus, my only son, is going to come, he's going to die for you, and he's going to rise again on this day 2,000 years ago. He's going to rise again so that you can be free to come to me. That's the message of Easter. It's a message of freedom, where God says, I want you to be free so you can come to me. That's what I want. And Jesus has made that way possible. The love of God does not change. The only thing that is to be determined is whether you're going to receive it or not. That's the only thing that's yet to be seen. I can love my children all I like, but they may never want to visit my house or come to my place. They may never want to see me. They may hate me. They may rebel against me. My love for them will never change. But there's only one question. Are they going to have relationship with me? And that's not broken on my part. It's only can be broken on their part. Because as for Heather and I, we will always love our children, regardless of what they do. We will always love our grandchildren when they deem it appropriate. We will always love them. The only question today is, will you receive the love of God? That's the only question. Will you receive the love of God? Not on your terms. Not because somehow you and I, we're so smart, so clever, not on our terms, but on his terms. To say, God, today I come to you, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm separated from you. I believe in you, but I know I'm separated from you. We don't have relationship. Jesus came and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no other way. And he offers us right now, he opens up and he says, will you accept my love and my grace? I heard during the week someone speaking about the plight of women around the world, and because it's one of the great dramas around the world is still the plight of women. It's anyway, I won't go into it, but it's a huge issue in many of these poverty-stricken places. And he used, for example, a Hindu woman, and in the merit system of Hinduism, then that woman is actually waiting to become a man. I don't mean some weird sex change thing. I mean they're trying to get enough merit in this life as a woman so that in the next life they'll come back as a man. Because they believe that in the last life they were a man but they didn't have enough merit, so they came back in this life as a woman. And the woman is subjugated under the man because of that. That's a merit system. Anytime we think that we're going to somehow please God, we buy into a merit system and God hates it. He hates it. You never get into relationship with God by doing something. It's only by receiving his gift of love, his gift of grace. Is that right? Those who know it's true, open your heart, let God do it in your life. Just quickly, I think there's some responses for us today if we really want to have that freedom that is offered to us today. The first one is to receive forgiveness. In John 8, Jesus is speaking to a bunch of people, Jewish people, who thought they had some right to a relationship with God. They say, we're sons of Abraham. We've got right to a relationship with God. Now remember, Jesus was a Jew himself, so he's not just having a go. In John 8, verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him. He said, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. Well, that actually wasn't true, but anyway. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Anyone who sins is a slave of sin. Anybody who's had something that they've struggled with, you know, maybe it's some lifestyle sin or some lifestyle issue you've struggled with that it's just got into your heart and it's got a hold of you. Anyone who's had that kind of experience knows that we can become a slave to sin. It can hold us. Whether that be anger, and you know, I see people who have these outbursts of anger that destroy their families and their relationships, and they become a slave to that anger and that angry response. I've seen plenty of people with life abuse, you know, substance stuff, that kind of thing. Anytime that sin gets a hold of us, then we can become a slave to it. And Jesus was saying to them, it's not about who you think you are. If the Son will set you free, then you're free. See, they grew up in a society that actually had slaves. And one way that a slave could get free is when the master of the household died and the son inherited the slaves, then the son could set the slaves free. And that's what he was talking about. They knew what he was talking about. They knew that when there was a death and a resurrection, then the son had the right to set free the slaves. And so Jesus was saying to them, I am the son and I've got the right to set you free. It's not about who you are or who you think you are. It's actually about the love and grace of God. Amen? First thing is receive forgiveness. The second is to focus on grace. Focus on grace. Don't get focused up on works and merit and that sort of. Get focused up on grace. Let me give you a couple of scriptures quickly. Lamentations in the Old Testament, one from the New. Lamentations 3, verse 21 to 23 says, this I recall to mind. One of the prophets, one of the old kings, was actually writing this. He says, this I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. It's because of the mercy of God that he doesn't just blot us out. That's what he's saying. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, again, the Apostle Paul, he said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. From both the Old Testament and the New Testament, these two great leaders of God's people were saying, I understand one thing. It's the love of God, the mercy of God that sets me free. If I ever try to do it myself, then I'll mess up. I can't please God. I can't impress God. But his mercy is new every day. Can I just say to you that if you're struggling with some area of sin in your life, something that's binding you up, if you're struggling with something, don't focus around law. Don't try to change or make it different. Don't try to pull yourself up from by your bootstraps. Don't do any of that. Just come to God, receive forgiveness, and then every time you fail, thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his mercy. God's not looking for perfect people. God's looking for people who know how to come to him and receive his mercy and receive his strength. Don't then take that as an excuse to live any way you want. That's just hypocrisy. Don't do that. But don't get condemned. Don't get judged. Don't get put down by yourself. Let God come with his love and his grace and his mercy and lift you up. Is that right? Yeah. Lift you up. If you just get focused in on saying, well, I failed again, therefore I'm hopeless, I'm no good, I'm a shocker, then all you're going to do is get bound up by that thing again. Every time you fail, just come to God. And like these blokes who knew what God was about, they come and they say, oh, God, thank you that your mercy is new for me every day. I stuffed up again yesterday. You know, I was angry with the wife and I let rip and I did stuff I know I shouldn't have done. Thank you today that it's a new day. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I want to be different today. I want your mercy to come and change me. I don't want to be bound up by that anymore. I want to be released by your grace. And the last thing that I, as a response today, is to live in the Spirit. In Galatians 5, that scripture that we started reading towards the end, it talks about living in the Spirit. It talks about the fact in verse 16, that's right. I can hardly read it. So I say, live by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the spirit, you're not under the law. God was just saying to the people, he's saying, look, if you just be led by the spirit, if you let my spirit lead you, then I'll lead you in a place of strength and victory and freedom. You know, one of the things that we like to talk about here is that it's not just about you. You know, we want freedom for you so that you can be free and liberated and all that. But I hope that what you see this morning is that that freedom leads to something. It leads to a way of life that becomes a blessing to someone else. And the people you saw sit here on the platform today have all come through what we've talked about today, where they've asked God to forgive them for their own sin, and they've said, God, make me a different and a new person. It's been my privilege to know most of those people most of their lives, except for Nelly, that I've known for a shorter period of time. But most of them I've known most of their lives. And you know, everyone has been through that process where God has blessed and God has changed and God has made them a person who wants to be a blessing to somebody else. And the thing that leads them and drives them to go off into the back blocks, and what they didn't tell you is that a couple of them got sick and they had all that sort of stuff going on. And I think Jan was throwing up for the last couple of days while they were there. But the reason they want to go there and why they want to connect our church to that place is because they say, God has touched me, he's forgiven me, he's given me his grace. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's what we are inviting you towards today, is to be free, not just for yourself, but for everybody around you. Amen? Why don't we stand together? We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. If the musicians would come, that'd be great. We give you thanks. We give you praise today, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you, Lord God, that your mercies are new for us every day, that we don't have to live in yesterday, either in its blessings or its problems, but today. Today we can come to you and we can know your love and your mercy and we can know your grace. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I pray today that you'd help us to shrug off our pride and our self and the stuff that just binds us up, that we could come to you with freedom and with open hearts, that you could speak into our heart, into our life, that you could lead us in the life that you've got for us. We thank you today for Jesus, who died for us, who rose again from the dead, who demonstrated his power over life and death. And we thank you that he died for each one of us. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts today to receive you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. While we're praying, and as we just take a moment to meditate, just to think, you know, God's Spirit will be trying to speak to all kinds of people today. He'll be trying to speak to people who have allowed their lives to be caught up in some sort of religion, some sort of religious life that is a merit thing, is trying to work and try to impress. And he wants you to free up from that. And he'll be trying to talk to some people who perhaps don't know him at all, have a belief but have no relationship. And he's trying to open our hearts. And the Spirit's trying to speak to us. His Spirit is trying to speak to you right now. And I just invite you to open your heart and to say, God, I don't know what it all means, but I know that you're real and I know you're trying to speak to me and I want to open my heart to you today. We're going to pray that way right now. And if you want to pray that way, you open your heart right where you are. If you know you're not in right relationship with God, you know that you're living your life really far away from him. But today you sense his calling, you sense that his Spirit is speaking to you. As we've read the Bible and as you've heard people sharing, something stirred inside you and you know you need to begin to figure this out. And I'd invite you to open your heart and let God do something in your life today. We're going to all pray together so you can just join in. We're going to ask God to forgive us. We're going to open our hearts to him. We're going to ask him to come and we're going to give our lives to him. If you want to do that today and you're real about it, then you open your heart right now. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.